people just want simplicity. Like, this is the window you can eat within, or don't touch carbs, or, you know, whatever it may be, the watermelon diet, just eat watermelon. Like, they want simplicity because it's so, the industry is so overcrowded with so much bullshit. So people just, like, want to know, okay, I need to just do that, and then it'll work. But unfortunately, is it going to be sustainable?
Welcome to the second episode with Ash Fitmom, where we touched on the benefits of protein, intermittent fasting, and finding your own sustainable approach to living healthier. To give you context, I used to love doing things in extreme, and it's only been the past 5 years that I've been able to find more balance and not have endurance races completely consume me. I've seen a huge transformation, both physically and mentally, all because of following the exact methods and principles that Ash coaches, which is why I'm so excited to have her back on stream. Ash is a certified personal trainer who created the FitMom community over 7 years ago and continues to coach hundreds of ambitious women seeking healthier and happier lives through the FitMom app, FitMom Forever one-on-one coaching, and her most recent offering, the FitMom Strong Challenge. If you're interested in knowing more about the FitMom Strong Challenge, which is Ash's biggest program yet, then head on over to fitmom.online or at Ash_FitMom on Instagram. Join in on the challenge starting the 5th of September. If you're listening to this episode after that date, don't worry. Ash has some epic programs and challenges lined up. So best you go subscribe to her email list so that you don't miss out. Let's get into today's episode.
So welcome back, Ash. I think following our last episode, that was very much just a taster getting into the conversation around weight loss, your sort of journey, as well as touching on calorie counting. And today we're going to chat a bit more about specifically protein benefits that people as well as yourself have witnessed with protein. We can touch on intermittent fasting, self-sabotage. We'll see where the conversation goes.
But yeah, all the nice meaty topics that women definitely need to hear more about.
Totally. And I think it's so hard to discuss it all in a short little episode. And also what's hard is, of course, you coming from a qualified background, I'm just coming from a very inquisitive wellness enthusiast, but there's so many angles and avenues we could take, like hormones on its own. I could talk for days or ask questions around that for hours, just based off of my own like ups and downs and experiences.
100%. No, I think as women, we're pretty complicated. But I think that's the approach with my one-on-one coaching that is so unique, in that I don't just look at, okay, are you getting stronger? Are you losing weight on the scale? I kind of look at the holistic picture, which is all of that. Hormones, so your menstrual cycle, libido, sleep, stress management, all of that plays such a role in your weight loss journey. And it's so many people kind of just discount those elements, but they are as important as your workout.
Mm, totally. And that was actually the first thing that I wanted to chat about, was one's environment, because I know just personally throughout my life, I've kind of not put a lot of emphasis on how much my environment's influenced the stages of my life and my health. And it's easy for us to point fingers and be like, it was when I was in that relationship, or it was because I was working next to that colleague. But a lot of the times it is, I think what's helped me is just acknowledging that I'm a very easily influenced person.
I mean, I think I was listening to a podcast the other day where a psychologist was talking about sugar and how we've brought up like everything with sugar in it is bad. And I'm not promoting eating sugar by any stretch of the imagination, but we actually as humans are hardwired to go for sugar, because back in the day when we were cavemen, it's a carb, it's high energy, it's something we would automatically just eat because we wouldn't know when our next meal would be. So it's very hard if your pantry is full of chocolate chip cookies and all the things that you know you're going to want and crave and binge on. I mean, for some people, it actually works better to set themselves up in that environment to rather not have that stuff in the house and rather choose it. So, okay, if I am going to have my Kit Kat today, go to the shop and buy it instead of having 20 in your cupboard waiting for you. Because it is, as humans, it's hard. It's very hard to kind of ignore those natural sort of cravings.
Totally. And I think that's also something, and when I just say about easily being influenced, if we can just acknowledge at different stages when we felt better and what personally works for us. And I know it's such a cliche to say, but really, like, I often reflect on my sort of health journey in the past 2 years and asking, like, Rocco, why do you think it is that I look and feel my best at 35 compared to any other stage of my life, even my sports days at school, even my, like, wellness, like, really, like, almost obsession when I got into starting my own businesses. Now I'm more balanced. I don't feel like I want to jump onto a diet or clean eat every Monday or that whole cycle that we spoke about before. And I think a big part of it as well is acknowledging the environment I've been in and that I am easily influenced when it comes to food. I'm half Italian. Food and the connection with food is like, it's still like, I don't want to, that I've gone on this new journey that I know you also talk about a lot, is like not demonizing food, not excluding sugars and all these things. Because when I did do that, when I did jump on fatty diets, I totally bombed. And I would go, and one Kit Kat wasn't enough. It was like, ooh, sugar, my body doesn't know what this is. Overdo it.
Yeah, 100%. I think that's just what I preach. It's like, I'm not saying live on sugar. I mean, 85% of your diet should be a wholesome, nutrient-dense food. But one Kit Kat, even a day, is not going to kill you. And if that's what you need to do personally on your journey in order not to hit Friday and eat 20 Kit Kats, then do it. Fit it into your calories. Know that a 2 fingers of Kit Kat's really not going to break the bank, the calorie bank. And it's just a much more balanced approach. So I think as soon as you do anything extreme, it's going to be unsustainable and you are going to bomb.
Totally.
And also what I was going to say, why you feel better, like I think in your mid-30s, is because with age comes wisdom. And I think you worked really hard at educating yourself in this space because it's something that really interests you. And it's exactly the same as me. I mean, a decade ago, I definitely thought I was living a well-balanced, healthy life. But if I look back now, running 90 kilometers a week, completely injured, and then thinking I could outrun my fork and just eating everything that I could. I wouldn't say I necessarily ever have eaten badly or processed foods, but I had no idea really from a calorie point of view what I was putting in my mouth. So education is huge. It empowers you and it takes you a long way on this journey. There's also another thing just in terms of your environment, which I want to say. So I think James Clear has such an amazing quote, and it's, you don't rise to the level of your goals. You fall to the level of your systems. And I love that. I think it's so powerful. So you can have this goal that you want to lose 30 kilograms, but rather focus on the environment and the systems, put the habits in place to get you there, as opposed to just starving yourself to or doing something extreme to get there. Rather focus day by day on the systems, and that includes your environment, your support system, to get you there. So I think it's quite powerful.
I love that, and I also love James Clear and his book.
I love it.
And just talking about those habits, the one thing this winter that really helped me, it's the first winter in years that I've consistently woken up at 5 and gone to the gym. Obviously, they're all
five.
No, but
5. I'm not a morning person, so when I get into the gym at 7, I'm like, I fist pump myself. You're already done by then.
No, well, do you know what the difference is? Okay, first of all, we don't have kids in the house. This will definitely change. Yeah. And also, I know my optimum is morning. I know optimum for me is anything 2 to 3 o'clock, I crash. Like now, 2 o'clock, after this, I'm brain dead. Yeah. Capacity-wise, I don't leave certain work for this time of day. But that was also habit-forming. And James Clear's advice on just get up every morning, go to the gym, even if you are. There have been mornings that both Rocco and I haven't been in the mood or the gym is packed. We've walked on a treadmill for 20 minutes or 10, grabbed a coffee and went home. But just that habit of consistently
showing up. Showing up, and every, what does he say? Every decision you make is a vote for the kind of person you want to become. So do you want to become a gym healthy person, not a gym person, but a healthy, strong person? Yeah. Just show up. Just start with showing up. As you say, if it's 10 minutes, it's better than nothing, and it creates that habit.
Totally. And now when I was sick on our last podcast, when I was recovering from that horrible tummy bug, I immediately was missing going, just that system. I was missing the coming back, being fresh. Like that, and that's what has kept me consistent. So that environment's quite important. And I don't know if you've got any tips for those who are in, especially work related, because I can relate to this being in a very much a woman's world when it comes to PR, even in the UK and in South Africa, and being surrounded by women who spoke about weight loss all the time.
I can imagine.
So that industry was very, made me very conscious actually about like weight and food, etc. So if there's anyone out there that's on that side of the spectrum in their work environment, or someone who's perhaps in a work environment where the majority of the people around them are eating Gatsby's for lunch, because I know a friend who
then it's even it's very hard. I mean, I think in that situation, if you do want to embark on a weight loss journey or a gaining strength journey, I do think it's quite important to reach out to somebody who can kind of be on your side, whether it's a personal trainer or a health and wellness coach, someone in that field who you feel will be on your team and who can give you measurable goals, because you can't improve what you're not measuring. So if you're just kind of blindly winging it and then there's cake in the office and you've got kind of no parameters to work within, you don't think that piece of cake is going to make a difference. But if you're having that every day, it is going to make a difference. So I think just reaching out and getting kind of a support system in place, which will be part of your systems to create the habits, which will eventually get you to your goals, is quite an important one. And I think it's quite a dangerous space to be in if you've got 10 or 15 women in an office all talking about their latest fitness fad. And so many people say, oh, well, you know, intermittent fasting, that's the only thing that works and everybody must do it. And they're quite like dogmatic in their views. And I think that comes without a lot of like education. So that's why I'm saying rope in a specialist. If you are feeling confused and you don't know where to start and it's all very overwhelming, everyone's got a different view, definitely seek help from someone who's in the game.
Yeah, that's really good advice. If I just look at, I often draw inspiration for why Rocco, as he ages, he's always said it really means a lot to him to see another man who looks after himself, especially in the business world. And I realized what he meant by that, and it's very much what you're saying, because I feel it now at the age that I'm at, is that you look for a mentor or someone who's living a very like balanced and a similar life to either what you're trying to achieve or similar to yours. And I think in that environment as well, we've often spoken about, we now admire just people that we meet in social occasions who are late 40s, 50s, and who've got this not this extreme approach to health. They're sitting at a braai with us, having a balanced plate of like potatoes, whatnot, and a beer. But yet you can see they are active, look after themselves, they family, moms or dads. That's quite aspiring, and I think that is very a benefit, is being surrounded by that or finding that, like outsourcing to a coach if you can't find that within in circles that you are socially.
Yeah, I think it's inspiring, and your immediate thought almost is like respect, because you know it takes hard work, you know it takes showing up. It takes showing up on the days when you really don't want to, and that's the hardest part. Mostly just like massive respect, because you know it doesn't come easy. But at the same time, it's a decision you make, and I don't think overweight is being easy. Going to the gym is not easy. So it's almost like choose your hard. And I also kind of think it's a vote for the kind of person I want to be later on in life, which is healthy, fit and strong to the best of my ability, live to see my grandchildren, all of that. So it's also a longevity thing which comes into play, which I think in your 20s, you're just like, you know, you're invincible, you're winging it. You don't really care about that kind of thing. But I think also just the balanced approach is also for me a huge, as you are half Italian, I'm married to an Italian. So much of our joy in our family is around cooking. I mean, the first thing my husband says to me basically every morning is, what's for dinner? And every Saturday he's like, what should we cook? So, I mean, I'm hardly in an environment where, it's very easy to cut out food groups or whatever, but having a balanced approach and still enjoying my life. And I don't want my kids to think, oh, mom doesn't eat this and mom doesn't enjoy doing this, or we're making fish pasta and mom's got to have her salad. Like, as long as there's balance involved, which is much easier said than done, hence why I think you should rope in a professional. that for me is key, though, is just like that exercise and health should be enhancing your life, not taking away from it.
Totally. It's so funny that you say that about the your household. We are exactly the same. Always. What's for dinner? Everything revolves around it. Even when I still go and visit my folks, the first thing I do is go to the fridge.
No, and it's so like, I love it. I absolutely love it. We pump the Italian music and we've got a glass of wine and the kids get involved in rolling the dough, and I absolutely love it, and I wouldn't change it for anything, and I wouldn't not eat that meal because of calories.
No.
Totally. But am I going to eat that meal 3 times a day? Probably not.
Yeah, exactly. When it comes to intermittent fasting, have you ever done it? Have you seen benefits? What's your take?
Yeah, I've dabbled in it, to be honest. I think especially when it really was the next best thing about 2 years ago. It didn't work for me personally because I wake up hungry and I often train early, not 5, but 7. So after I've trained, I'm generally obviously hungry, and I also want to then nourish my body and give back and help my muscles recover. And so for me, it didn't work, but I do know that from a health benefit point of view, there's a lot of research to say that it reduces inflammation in the body. So for like chronic diseases like Alzheimer's and asthma, things that are inflammatory, I think multiple sclerosis, how do you say it, is another one. It can be very beneficial. And also I think lowering blood pressure. So I think there are definitely benefits to it. And again, it's what works for you. So there's nothing magical really about it. It gives you a window for people who've never done it. You kind of choose a window to fast in where you don't eat. So like the most common one is 16 hours you don't eat. And then, so it's called the 16-8 method. And then you eat within 8 hours, within an 8 hour period. But that doesn't mean you can just roll up and eat everything that you get your hands on. But I think by reducing the hours that you eat in, it naturally puts people into a calorie deficit. And it gives you like a measurable boundary. So I think that's why people like it. Like, okay, cool, I've got until 6 p.m. and then after that, I'm not putting anything in my mouth. So it gives you that boundary, and it works for a lot of people. But personally, I'm much more the balanced type. As I said, breakfast is probably my favorite meal of the day. So if someone had to say to me, now wait until midday to eat, I might die. But I have done it before, and I didn't see massive benefits. But yeah. I do know that some people have lost huge amounts of weight. And again, if it's something that's sustainable for you and enjoyable and it helps you lose weight, then go for it. Yeah. I don't think it's going to do – it's not. If anything, it will benefit you. Yeah. I don't think it's going to do anything bad for you.
Yeah, like you say, some people are the type of people that literally just want, give me a exact X, Y, and Z to eat, time frame, whatever it may be, and they benefit from it. Because I know a lot of people that don't actually enjoy cooking. They'll just eat the same meal every single day.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
But my one benefit of intermittent fasting that I sort of witnessed is I've only been living with Rocco for a year and a half, and again, love food. I don't like eating on my own. That doesn't mean that I don't eat when I'm on my own, but what ended up happening was I was starting to gain like unnecessarily weight, not a hell of a lot, but since living with him, and it would be because we'd go do our sort of morning exercise. He'd intermittent fast and have his first like meal at 12 and then come home at, for dinner. I'll have breakfast, lunch, and then dinner, have two portions or eat exactly the same.
So you just doubled up.
Like we're making burgers and I also want a second burger, and I'm like, I've always been like,
yeah.
So I'm saying I'm influenced, like when I had colleagues who'd have chuckles at 10 a.m. because they've got PMS, I'd be like, ooh, that's like, that's not something I'll go buy, but it's there, let me try it, maybe 10 a.m. chuckles isn't that bad.
But I think that's the norm, and I think that's, people are so hard on themselves and have been so like brainwashed by diet culture that, you know, how it should be. And if you just change the narrative, that there are no good and bad foods, that, you know, like do what works for you. And, for me, it's a much more balanced approach. And that really works for me. It means that I don't need to binge on the weekends, and, it means that I can kind of maintain my weight all year round.
Yeah. Hundreds. So that was the two times that I can sort of do intermittent fasting, just to get my, because I'm in, all the confessions are coming out. I'm also an emotional eater. So what will happen?
But I think if you had to ask like 90% of women, I think we all are, like whether it's like PMSing, had a fight with someone, very stressed.
Happy, sad.
I'm 100%. When I moved to England, so stressed. Most stressful thing I've ever done. I literally baked rusks every 3 days, and I wouldn't even wait for them to be dry before I'd basically mowed down the batch, because it just was comfort and it was home and it was anything to kind of cling to help my healing heart. So don't worry, I think it's pretty much the norm.
Yeah. So that's when intermittent fasting helps. So I come back from holiday, I'm feeling a bit sluggish because I've obviously overindulged in all the things. I'm trying to get back into a routine, and I know that, I make delicious dinners in the week and I want to eat the same amount or at least enjoy it without gaining weight, and that's where I sort of fast in the morning, have my lunch, etc. Yeah, and that's where I've seen some benefit. Exactly like you're saying, it's just reducing my calories, but instead of, balancing it out throughout three meals, I'll just make sure that the evenings I can have big fat dinner and a dessert.
And I think again, it's like people just want simplicity. Like this is the window you can eat within, or don't touch carbs. Or, you know, whatever it may be, the watermelon diet, just eat watermelon. Like they want simplicity because it's so, the industry is so overcrowded with so much bullshit. So people just like want to know, okay, I need to just do that and then it'll work. But unfortunately, is it going to be sustainable?
That's exactly what a friend of mine said to me. She literally said, hasn't seen me in ages. She went, what have you been doing? And I literally started, because it's all the principles you teach that I can't summarize in one sentence. And when I started with meat, protein, then already she goes, what are you doing? Yeah. She wants one answer.
She wants you to say, I'm doing this new diet that's just been released in America. You can lose 10 kgs in a month.
Yeah.
That's what I've done. Yeah. That's what she wants to hear.
All it is, you don't eat. That's all. All you do is
you just drink water for a month. I promise you, it works like a dream. That's exactly what they want to hear. It's so sad. It infuriates me, but that's why people go on such a long road. They get to 45 and they still don't understand why they can't lose the weight because they're not educated.
Yeah. Sometimes I wondered if I wasn't, if it would just be as simple as, and because there's so much emotion and psychology around weight loss, etc. I sometimes wonder if it would be, I don't know what would be easier growing up. I think what you said earlier and what's something that I want to make sure our household has, which I know is tricky, is to not have those discussions that are always surrounded by weight and not like cut, like exactly what you're saying, cutting out certain food groups for weight loss purposes or aesthetic.
Yeah.
The aesthetic route or, yeah, those conversations can really sit with you for life. And it's not just in your home, of course, like we said, it's also in, work situations as well. Let's chat about protein. Cause also.
Oh, I love protein.
So I know for some, I know so many people that say it's very hard because their go-to is to say they don't eat meat. So of course there are other ways of getting protein, but before we get to protein sort of intake, what are the major benefits and how do people listening know how much protein they should be consuming daily?
So protein is basically the king of the macronutrients. So your macronutrients are your protein, your carbs, your fats, and the reason why, which is what people don't understand, why it is so important and will change your life if you focus on increasing your protein, is that it has the highest thermic effect of food, which means you burn more to break it down. So you burn more calories breaking it down, which obviously is going to have a higher impact on your energy expenditure. So I think a protein is 20 to 30%. I don't know what it is. Let me actually check. 20 to 30% of the energy content of the food to break it down. Fats is 0 to 3% and carbs are 5 to 10%. So it's almost three times the amount of fats and carbs energy-wise to break it down. And because it's requiring more energy to break it down, it means you're going to stay fuller for longer, which is always a win. Mm-hmm. It's going to reduce cravings. So your cravings are going to be down. It's got a whole, array of benefits from repairing your muscles. I've said like your cravings. It also is very good for your bones and it's obviously going to increase your fat burning ability. So if you're on a weight loss journey and you're not focusing on a protein target, even if you're not tracking it, just being mindful of it and knowing how much protein is in your breakfast, lunch, dinner, and your snacks, it's a game changer. Honestly, it's the one. Two things have seriously impacted my maintaining my weight. And the first one was when I introduced carbs after I thought carbs were the devil that was quite a while ago, probably 5 or 6 years ago. Immediately I lost like 2 to 3 kgs in like 3 weeks just because my body was like, fuck, you train so hard and you're not giving me the energy that I need. So I'm storing it. So I'm just going to hold on to it. So carbs for me were a game changer. And then the protein has just been everything in terms of cravings and helping me build muscle. It's a mindset shift, but it's now a complete priority within my diet.
Yeah, your body is looking insane. And I would say, protein's got a big part to play.
Huge. And I think, people, again, it's such a hard topic because people aren't educated on it. So, cool, increase your protein. What does that mean? Mm-hmm. What does that mean? Must I eat steak? How do I do it for breakfast? So the hardest part when with my one-on-one clients or any ladies that I train is when I say increase your protein, I do give a protein target, which I ask them to track because it's the only way to know if you're hitting that target. so often they're like, okay, this is what I ate today. And then I work it out and it's like 70 grams. I'm like, darling, you need to double that.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know how to. Don't have half a scoop of whey, have one scoop of whey. Don't have half a chicken breast, have a whole chicken breast. So often the most basic thing of increasing protein is just to eat more protein. I know it seems like a lot, a tin of tuna.
Sorry.
Oh, are you there?
Yeah, sorry.
eating a tin of tuna seems like a lot. That's 30 grams of protein. That's what you want in your lunch. I can tell you right now, you probably won't need a snack between 1 and 5 if you have a full tin of tuna. But people are like, oh, no, I only have a half, because in their mind, it's if I eat less, I'm going to weigh less. And yeah. It doesn't work like that necessarily. Oh, it's complex.
It is. And it's not as straightforward, because I know that there's deprogramming that I'm often doing in my head. But with the protein side of things, I found that I thought I was eating a lot of protein. And of course, my mind went to, oh, I must eat more meat. And I don't like to eat a lot of meat. We don't actually eat, especially not red meat. But then things like that have really changed, because I've seen massive benefit from, like, my whole body composition has changed.
Totally. Mine has totally changed. Totally changed. Mm-hmm. Literally. I'm shocked. 3 kids heading to 40, and I've, like, changed the shape of my body. And I've been training for 20 plus years.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I know I've increased my strength training in combination with that, but I know that the protein has been a massive game changer for me.
100% agree with you. I think some of the easier parts of incorporating protein have definitely been like egg whites. If I don't have egg whites in the fridge and I can't stuff that in like oats or with my scrambled eggs, then I like find it really hard to like, that's like one part. Protein. That, and then I started introducing again cottage cheese and yogurt, things that I cut out for so long because of my hormones. I went through like
hysteria,
adult acne, had a lot of inflammation, had a lot of like things, but now on a more balanced and in a healthier state, I can incorporate a lot of those foods again, which obviously helps a lot with protein intake.
Yeah, hugely. And then just a disclaimer there, it's not like now go crazy on protein, because protein still contains calories.
Yeah.
But so that's why it's important when you have your protein target to do it within your calorie target. So that's why I'm pro tracking, because it gives you something measurable which you can improve on and you can target it every day.
Love that. And how would you say people can tackle a healthier, sustainable, I don't like to say weight loss journey, because weight loss is just something that you want to do temporarily, because you don't want to always be in calorie deficit or even just thinking about just weight loss. Like, so refreshing being in my 30s, and actually I think it's also just, like you say, wiser, don't give as much of a shit, but having that freedom to just love food for what it is and to make healthy choices, but to also, like last night, we had 2 bowls of Cocoa Pops, and it was just so good, because I'm on my period. And I'm on my period, and if I didn't have that last night, today would have been an absolute shit show, because I would have given in and just bombed.
But you know, now that you know better, you know what's in those, your bowl of Cocoa Pops, and cool. I hope you enjoyed every crunch.
It's so good.
So good.
So how would you say someone could take on a sort of incorporating more healthy foods without having that mindset or even giving in to the more expensive health products out there, the healthy fads out there? Because it is very hard walking into any grocery store and being bombarded by all the health products, or you think the gluten-free cookies are good for you because it's gluten-free, but it's still, so how do you even approach that without busting the bank?
Yeah, I think, I mean, you absolutely can eat a well-rounded, healthy diet and lose weight or not gain weight on a budget, 100%. I mean, it doesn't have to be fancy, flashy. I mean, my biggest advice would be to actually keep it simple. Like, I think if you are trying to control the amount of fats and stuff that you put into your diet. The simpler, the better, especially in the beginning. And you will see progress. But I think that, it's a hard one because, again, the industry is just bombarding you with all the stuff which you think is healthy. And if you don't know how to read a nutritional label, then you do think the gluten-free bread is going to be better than the whole grain bread. Meanwhile, it's probably got double the calories. So, again, it's about educating yourself. And if you really are feeling lost and overwhelmed, it's about reaching out. Go and see a dietitian. There's a reason they studied for so many years. Reach out to a health and wellness coach. The more education you have, the more empowered you'll be to make the right decisions. And then once you're empowered, you've got flexible eating or intuitive eating, which is kind of the goal. Mm. You want to be able to go, I'm going to France on Sunday for a week, and there's no way in hell I'm not going to have a croissant probably every day. Yeah. Like, I know what's in it, but that's the thing. I know how to fit it in now to my life, and I think that's the key is empowerment and education. I think the biggest investment you can make is in yourself. And whether that's in the form of a therapist or, as I said, a personal trainer or whatever it may be. People don't even think they go to, Country Road and drop $3,000. But that $3,000 could go towards changing your life forever.
Totally. I love that. I've said that the other day as well. It's so interesting for me as well in business, working with small businesses and startups, and a lot of them complaining about finance and not being like in a position that they want to be, but then yet no one's prepared to put money aside to invest in their business or to invest in courses and upskilling, but they're very quick to go spend that money at a Woolworths grocery shop or on clothing. So it's an interesting, if you want it bad enough, yeah, get those experts involved and really, like you say, educate yourself.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's hard, but it doesn't have to completely control your life.
And can I just say that even every coach needs a coach. I've got a coach. He keeps me on the straight and narrow. I check in with him weekly. He's helping me with my program. I'm learning so much from him. There's no limit to the amount you can learn. And hopefully I'm imparting all of that to the ladies that I coach. And as we've said a million times, when you know better, you do better. So this journey is a continual growth path.
Exactly. That is exactly what I wrote down on my notes to end off with. Oprah. When you know better, you do better. Thanks so much again for your time, and I'm sure we'll have another chit chat very soon.
Such a pleasure. Thanks for having me. I loved it.
Pleasure. Thanks.
Yeah. Bye.